Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's meditation is recorded in the book of Exodus, 16th chapter, verses 2 through 4. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." This is our text. Friends in Christ, in the Bible, the word bread literally means, of course, food. But poetically, it has a much larger meaning. As we all know, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," as Luther reminds us, we're praying for much more. It's a figure of speech. It's called a synecdoche. When we use the term ABCs, we're really referring to all of the alphabet when we use those three ABC. And when we use the word bread, as Luther tells us, we're talking about much, much more. Everything that we need for our bodily welfare. Food, clothing, good weather, good friends, faithful spouse, and so on. All those things are part of it. The Bible uses that term bread, combines it with other phrases, and we almost have a kind of a haiku poetry telling us stories, if you will. So the Bible talks about eating the bread of wickedness. There's a story there. You can almost see the images. You can imagine them. Or the bread of deceit, the bread of idleness. And in other places, we see the term, the phrase, the bread of tears, the bread of sorrow. You can see people have had things happen in their life. The bread of affliction, the bread of adversity, and on and on. Today's text is about a bread of complaining, and secondly, about a bread of heaven, as it lays out the absolute power of God's holy word to punish, but also to give life. First of all, the bread of complaining. God has rescued his people from Egypt. But here we are just about 2 months into the wilderness, and rather than trusting God to take them through it, after all, wouldn't it have been a short journey? Couldn't they have tolerated it? They begin complaining. "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." This bread of complaining is just one of a host of sins God's people are guilty of. For when we look at there our own hearts, we find that it is not merely complaining that one finds, but one finds complaining thieves, complaining sexually immoral people, greedy, idolatrous complainers, proud complainers, vain, pleasure-seeking complainers. That's you and me. God was testing his people then, as he tests us now, to see if they were willing to trust in him to take them through the trial, the period of trial that they were in. Here it was a wilderness. Not much water, not much to eat. God wanted to bless his people with the bread of faith, but what they got was the bread of complaining. He gave it to them just as he gives bread to the unbelievers. But he wanted it to be a bread of faith. They blame Moses and Aaron, but it is God who has brought them out into the wilderness to humble them. God rescued them. They have a short memory because they had called out to him when they were captives, when they were slaves in Egypt. They called to him to deliver, to rescue them, and he did. It wasn't Moses, really, or Aaron. They were God's, of course, intermediaries. God had appointed them to be leaders. They played a significant role. But it was really God who was behind everything. So when they were complaining to Moses, they were really complaining to God. This wilderness is narrow. It's only about 70 years long. Can't we trust in God for a little while, for a little space? The promised land is not far behind. Selective memory, when we are tested, we forget the oppression of Egypt and the bread of slavery. We long for Egypt where we sat by pots of ribeye and T-bones. You can imagine what they're thinking of. When we ate bread to the full, as they put it. Rather than trusting in God to take them through the wilderness, trusting in God as the bread of life, they remember, as Moses writes in another place, the fish which they ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. In Psalm 23, God prepares a table in the wilderness. He sets it for all of us, and he sits down alongside, and he is with us to the end. Here we have the children of Israel preparing their own imaginary table in the wilderness, and God is not an invited guest. We might think complaining is a small thing, but it was no small thing. Complaining is always a synecdoche, hiding 100 other sins. Complaining is a telltale sign of unbelief, which leads to denying God and his powerful word. Complaining is what the spies were about when they returned. You remember, in a little while, God will send the spies. He will say, I'm going to give that land to you into Canaan. They return, and they are scared stiff. We were as grasshoppers in our own eyes. Caleb and Joshua are ready to take the land. They believe that God will be with them. But here they bring back the disease. The spies bring back the disease. And this is what Moses reports. They made all the congregation complain against Moses. Complaining is a disease. It's just like so many other sins. God's punishment is swift. All the men bringing the report are killed by the plague, and God punishes the rest of Israel, everybody over 20 years old, by what we all now know is 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and nobody will get to the other side except for all those under 20. Let us not underestimate the seriousness of any sin. Today we're looking at one, really, complaining, but it hides 100 more. It would be easy to point the finger at the Israelites for how bad they are, but Paul, writing to the Corinthians, and therefore to us, refers to this account with a warning. He says, "Do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel." And in Romans, Paul reminds us there is no difference, I would say, between the Israelites and us. No difference. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." And that really brings us then to our final synecdoche, if you will, about the bread of heaven, the bread of grace. And here we see the absolute power of God's word to save. For God, by his creative word, makes not rain, not hail, not snow, not sleet, not 100 different things, volcano dust coming down, but he, by his powerful word, causes bread to descend from above. God, with his powerful word, can speak the word. He can say to you, as he does, "Your sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ." And that word can be taken at face value because it is God's word. And here he proved that he was the God who could do whatever he wanted to. Thus our text truly labels it what it is. It's bread from heaven. Psalm 78, reporting on this account, says that men ate angels' food. And this bread, this manna then, was a signifier of the grace of God's word to undeserving sinners such as all of us are. In the face of their grumbling, God forgave the ancient people, even those that didn't get into the promised land. He forgave them their sins. Why? Because Moses intervened on their behalf, and thus symbolizing through his own act what Jesus Christ would be for the entire world as the mediator between God and man. What Moses and the bread represented was the mediator Christ, who never complained once, but because of his great love, suffered the worst indignities on our behalf, shedding his blood at the cross. And when he was in the desert, tempted by the devil, he cited that passage in Deuteronomy against the devil, which was written in direct reference to this account that we have before us here today. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. As we approach Holy Week, we are reminded of how God took on human flesh on our behalf, not only to speak the word, but that as the very word made flesh, that he could take our sins to Calvary and pay the price that none of us could pay, dying for our sins to redeem us. By his perfect life and by his perfect death, he atoned for our sin at the cross, working out our justification and calling us all, just as God called them in the wilderness, to simply trust God and to believe. God's grace has removed all of our sins, and he is here leading us unto everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. Please rise. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. Keep us both outwardly and inwardly, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to us in body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.